The sermon text is taken from Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of my people, of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping, fasting, and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Let us go to God in prayer. Our God and Father, may you speak to us as we hear your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I trust that you all have a blessed Christmas yesterday, remembering the significant birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. How was your preparation into Christmas Day? Was it a time where you feel at peace and confident in our Savior Jesus Christ, or was there a tinge of insecurity and fear from the restriction being loosened and the news of new COVID variant from time to time? I trust that as much as we want to celebrate Christmas, we are all very cautious about COVID prevention. Likewise, my family is very careful about our hygiene. We limit our social gatherings and exposure to outdoor fun like playgrounds. However, we were infected with something else. On the 5th December, Sunday morning, my second daughter started to have high fever. I tested her and myself with the ART test kit, and we were both COVID negative. So that I could proceed to come to church, I was wondering what is causing her high fever. By evening time, her high fever did not subside, so we brought her to the family clinic. The doctor is alarmed because Claire's temperature was 39.5 degrees Celsius. We were advised to bring her for PCR test, just to be sure that it is not COVID. On Monday night time, while I was giving her fever medication, Claire made a statement, "Papa, there are ulcers again in my mouth." As though God spoke through her, I guess, could it be? Do you know what's that? Hand, foot, mouth disease. And true enough, when I checked her mouth, there were ulcers and rashes on her hands and feet. I did not show a picture of us with all the rashes and ulcers. It's a bit too yucky. I'm afraid it will affect your lunch. By Tuesday night, I started feeling unwell, and on Wednesday morning, I was already having fever, followed by my two other daughters who were having fever too. So four of us were infected by HFMD, not COVID. So much for COVID prevention, right? It was terrible and agonizing days for us. Caroline and our helper, Joy, were wearing masks and slippers all the time. Caroline said she kept washing and sanitizing her hands like crazy. It wasn't easy to see my foodie, Claire, who couldn't eat, and for my other two girls who were weak and feverish. For me, I had to use a walking frame to assist me as I was partially handicapped by the blisters that covered my feet. Each night was a nightmare as I got choked by my own saliva. Ouch. We were all waiting expectantly for the whole episode of HFMD to be over. Psalm 5:3 came to my mind. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. I was hopeful and couldn't wait for the blisters and ulcers to be gone. I was even hoping to come back to lead worship on 12th December. But knowing that I can be contagious, I had no choice but to hand over the leading to Elder David. In the midst of waiting, I kept praying and hoping, trusting in God and coordinating for BB Share a Gift. I began counting down each day, day one, day two, and praying to God in my heart. True enough, by the sixth day, I was able to walk effortlessly and no longer feeling choked at night. It took us about 2 weeks for me and my girls to fully recover. Waiting during troubled times may be difficult and challenging. However, there is always something to expect for during the waiting. For me and my family, it is recovery and God's healing. In our passage today, we read about two persons, Simeon and Anna. They were also waiting expectantly in a very, very difficult time for the promised Messiah. They were faithful men and women who were waiting for the consolation of Israel and redemption of Jerusalem. What kind of consolation? What kind of comfort? And what kind of redemption do they need? So one was looking for the comfort. The other was looking at deliverance from their situation. Both Simeon and Anna were waiting expectantly for the promised Messiah. As it is being prophesied by prophet Isaiah that Israel will be comforted and redeemed by the Messiah. Let me share some background to help us understand why they were waiting expectantly for the Messiah. Simeon was referring to prophet Isaiah writing during the time Israel was in captivity. As a result of their idolatry and disobedience to God, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Can you imagine if our church is being destroyed and we don't have a place for worship? The Israelites were exiled. They were forced to leave from the comfort of their homes because of their unfaithfulness to God. Can you imagine if your house is being burnt down and you don't have a shelter over you? Many died either from starving or killed in the siege. All hope were lost. They must have had questioned God for not saving them. As God promised the Israelites long ago that they would be a great nation, and God had rescued them from slavery and conquered numerous enemies from many times. He promised that though through them he was going to establish his kingdom on earth. However, when the Babylonians besieged their capital and took the Israelites captive, God seemed to do nothing. God seemed silent and far from them. As we move to New Testament, during the days of Simeon and Anna, the people were oppressed by the Romans, wherein they faced persecutions such as death and martyrdoms for their faith. Therefore, they were so longing, hoping and waiting expectantly for the promised Messiah, who can set them free from their physical oppression and emotional depression. Above all, salvation and eternal hope that will help them live each day in spite of their trials and challenges. And when the time came for Mary and Joseph to bring baby Jesus to Jerusalem, to present to the Lord according to the purification law of Moses, Simeon and Anna were just in the temple waiting expectantly for their Savior. Jesus' presentation at the temple is utmost significance because this fulfills the Old Testament prophecy. For the first time, he is recognized as the Messiah by Simeon, Anna, Joseph and Mary, and no one else. Luke wants us to see this is part of scripture fulfillment from the day when Jesus was born, and the name Jesus means to deliver or save. It is also part of fulfilling what the angel had told Mary, that Jesus came to fulfill the law and for the people to see that a Savior is born to them. The man who recognized baby Jesus is Simeon. He was a devout Jew who had for many years been waiting for the Savior of his people. As soon as he saw Jesus, the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to recognize the baby as the long-awaited Messiah. Now, it is interesting to take note, there were other people who saw baby Jesus. For instance, other parents who brought their baby boys for circumcision too, when Jesus had his at 8 days. Oh, and what about the priests who circumcised Jesus? Did they recognize the Messiah? Sadly, no. Don't you think it was ironic that none of the high priests, scribes or Pharisees who were in the temple that day recognized the Messiah and saw Jesus as just another baby? Simeon had a vertical relationship with God and was described as righteous. This also speaks of his horizontal relationship with people. He is a man who did the right thing in the eyes of God and men. He could be trusted and counted on. He is a man of character and integrity. Being devout, he loved God. He worshipped God. He served God. He prayed to God. God was priority in his heart. Another important fact about Simeon: the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him, and he was led by the Spirit. This speaks of his relationship with God. He was intimately close with God and was sensitive to his leading. He was so close to God that the Holy Spirit not only revealed to him about the first coming of Jesus, it was also revealed to him about the future of Jesus' purpose of his ministry. For a person to have an intimate relationship with someone will take time. It is not how the Hollywood movie portrays. Within 2 hours, a couple get married at the end of the movie. Neither is it about religious act, which I mentioned about the priest who circumcised Jesus, who couldn't even recognize who Jesus was. Relationship takes time and much effort, which I believe Simeon had invested in and was rewarded by God, as he could depart in peace as he had seen salvation. So he was ready to depart in peace. That was his reward. He was not passively waiting, doing nothing, but actively waiting, continuously growing his relationship with God. As for Anna, she is a prophetess who was advanced in age. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And she spoke of Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. To be conservative, Anna's age could range between 84 to 100 years and above. As a prophetess, and being a female who was not looked up upon in those days, God used her. She received insight into things that normally remain hidden to ordinary people. She recognizes who this child is and tells of his significance to people in Jerusalem. Her attitude in worship, with fasting and prayer, night and day, speaks of her being faithful and devout, regular, having a routine to meet God. We meet once a week in church or attend online service to worship God. We have prayer meeting once a week, and perhaps a few of us do fasting once a year. Anna did it night and day. Sounds like 24/7. That she communicated with God. No doubt, we can say that she loved God a whole lot. Both the lives of Simeon and Anna were marked with exemplary testimonies. Both of them had a vertical relationship with God first and then to people. They both anticipated the arrival of Jesus' first coming. Unlike the rest of the priests or high priests who circumcised Jesus were not able to recognize that he was the Messiah. And that shows us the spiritual condition of these temple goers. In our case, believers and modern day worshippers in church. They were not like Simeon and Anna, who waited expectantly, knowing that only Jesus will bring them comfort and deliverance from their situation. While waiting for the Savior's arrival, both of them continue to live a life that seeks to please God through their daily devotion and living right with people in the midst of an oppressive environment where Christianity was detested and believers were persecuted. On top of not being hindered by their circumstances, we see Anna, who was very senior, wasn't limited by her physical challenges nor feeling incapacitated as a woman. We were not told about any physical challenges she had. However, if we look at our family members who reaches 60, 70s, they may be hindered by different health challenges. Sometimes even the society find them useless when we reach a certain age. However, that did not deter Anna. Among our congregation, we have some elderly whom I have interacted with, whom are currently still active and thinking of how they can continue to serve God at their age in this inconvenient period of time. One couple that I interacted with is elder Ang and Mrs. Ang. They could easily give an excuse to take a step back and enjoy their retiree lives. However, they are still very active. I remember during the prayer meeting, they asked for prayer, how we can serve God at our age. They are like Simeon and Anna who love God and placing God as priority of their lives. Just as Simeon and Anna who waited expectantly for the birth of the Messiah, re-remembered and just celebrated Christmas yesterday, Jesus' birth. And though it is no longer Christmas, may we all continue to draw near to Jesus and celebrate Christ of Christmas, knowing He is Emmanuel. He is with us each day and every day. May we continue to be devoted to Him and seek to experience Him as our wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace amidst uncertainties ahead. So what can we learn from these two faithful and devoted Christians who live in very, very trying times? See, we have been in COVID for 2 years now. How does it shape us as a believer of Jesus? Did it motivate us to seek fellowship with other believers, with creativity and continually, or does it paralyze us from even making phone call or messaging our brothers and sisters? Yes, there are inconveniences during this period. However, did it become an excuse for us not to reach out to others, especially those who need Jesus during this pandemic? We are aware that from time to time, there may be new COVID variant. How do we respond to that? Do we become so paranoid about the virus? Or when you get close to Emmanuel, he has hand, foot, mouth. Don't go close to him. Does that hinder us from stepping back into church? My family try to live as normal. Other than putting on masks and watching our hygiene, life goes on. For instance, my children and myself were out and we caught the virus, HFMD. Not sure how we caught it though, but it didn't deter me from reaching out to others. For instance, last week, while still on self-quarantine, though I was not able to lead the team in the BB Share a Gift distribution, however, I was able to serve by making phone calls to the recipients of the BB Share a Gift. I'm thankful for our worshippers who came forward to volunteer themselves and bless the residents in Limbang during our BB Share a Gift vouchers distribution. Were they not at all fearful of getting infected? I believe that they did their prevention and entrusted their life to God. Special thanks to Pastor Ned for offering to coordinate the outreach activity on my behalf. Now, as we are waiting expectantly for our Messiah's return, His second coming, for Him to come and deliver us from evil, our sinfulness, fleshly desires, from earthly troubles, sufferings, natural disasters, viruses, and pandemic. There may be some of us who are facing our aging health issues or perhaps terminal illnesses. May you find confidence and trust in Jesus. Let us remember our Sunday school Bible stories or our Christian education lessons, telling us about Jesus' ministry on earth, how He has healed people, and how He died and resurrected. This is a very concrete revelation God has given to us through Jesus. Those who have challenges in your work, continue to walk in God's teaching, so that you live out the testimony God wants you to live and trust in Jesus' second coming. Your life for God will not be in vain. Those of us who are in a relationship or are in the midst of parenting, there can be challenging times too. We can always live out our testimony by loving and making things right with our spouse or our children and the people around us, and give glory to God while waiting for Jesus' return and our eternal rewards in heaven. Brothers and sisters, how have COVID changed your life? Are you feeling intimidated, without hope, as your concern is that you may get infected? Or are you hopeful and confident that even if I am infected, I know my life is secure in Jesus Christ, that Jesus' ministry on earth is life testimony for me, security and confidence for me to face my days and challenges ahead? What I have said was mentioned over and over during the Advent season. The reason for Christmas, the meaning of Jesus and his coming, hope that in recalling and remembering Jesus will continue to reflect in our lives daily. With that, I should live a life waiting expectantly and not waiting aimlessly. And with the year ahead, as we are coming to an end, how can we grow our relationship with God in the area of worship, prayer, and fasting, as mentioned in the life of Anna? Can we set aside time for God each week to worship Him as a congregation, each day to worship Him with our family, or as an individual going to God? How about prayer? Can we set aside one Wednesday each month to pray together as a church? Fasting. Can we set aside extended time to be with God, giving up some of our time just to be alone with God? Will you also commit to serve in an area in the church? It could be an area of your competency, or an area where you're not very comfortable with, but you're willing to learn. So as the announcement is made later about area of services, please, just for once, don't say, "Let me pray about it," okay? But say, "Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, use me." Do approach any pastor or ministry staff and say, "I hope to serve. Please let me know how I can serve." You know, with the beginning of 11:30 service, there are many people who step forward. Some are quite seniors. And I'm very appreciative of that. And I'd like you all to know that we are really short-handed. The music team played week after week. It's actually most of the time the same group of people playing. And we really need someone to step forward. You're not serving us, you're serving God. And you will be rewarded. Jesus came, He will come again and reward us accordingly. Let us live a life with devotion like Simeon and Anna, following God's teaching, in the Bible. Jesus Christ came, died for us, resurrected and ascended in heaven. He will come again, and He is our hope in the midst of our challenges. He is our hope for the years ahead. Let's continue to live life for our God, loving Him fervently and serving our Lord faithfully as we wait expectantly for His second coming. Let's imagine our upcoming family reunion. As we celebrate New Year or even Chinese New Year, something we are waiting expectantly. I know some of us are getting married next year. There's a lot of preparation to be done. So Chinese New Year is coming, and some of our parents or family members are overseas. We can't wait to travel and meet them. and try to imagine the promise that God has given us, which is the marriage supper, the grand reunion that we will have with God and Jesus, stated in the book of Revelation. What kind of preparation will we do? In closing, I'd like to give us all a moment to think through these three questions. First, what is one thing I can do to grow and nurture my personal devotional life and relationship with God? Second, what is one thing I can do to improve my relationship with others? And third, what is one ministry wherein I can serve God in this church for next year and onwards? Let's take a moment to pray, and I'll close us in prayer. Let's take a moment to reflect on these three questions and ask God to show us how we can grow our relationship with Him. Let's go to God in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for your saving grace. Forgive us at times we have made the world our homes instead of focusing on our heavenly home. Please help us to remember each day to live a life waiting expectantly for Jesus' second coming and not doing nothing while waiting. Help us to be faithful and devout, to carry out the gospel work that Jesus has came to fulfill. And help us to emulate Jesus' work on earth daily until Jesus returns again. So that we can be called your good and faithful servant. Help us to be bold, to face the unseen ahead of us with confidence through Jesus' work. We pray all this in confidence in our Savior Jesus' name, who was born and He will return again. Amen.